I don't see myself as like incredibly good looking.
So you don't look in the mirror, you're like, you're hot.
No.
No? I do that all the time. That's my morning ritual.
I
every
can
morning.
100% imagine that.
It's me, Mario. What is up, my friends? And welcome back to Uncensored. And guys, today, I say this every single fucking week, but I think this week we have officially the best looking guest we've ever had on this podcast.
He's right.
It's he looks so like, nice to say that.
Don't you think
Thank
so?
You.
You've seen the trolls gnomes out of this podcast.
I could say something so mean for this. I don't know if I should or not. I'm going to say it. I can't really compare it to any other people that was here because I didn't watch any of your YouTube.
God damn. You didn't join a competition?
I shouldn't have said it.
I take that back. Actually,
I literally just killed myself in the first second of this whole thing, right?
No, it's all good. They're like, you know, because
you're no, it's not true. Actually, I watched some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. There you go.
You checked his story. You were what?
You saw them, right? And you're like, I'm hotter than that guy. I'm still hotter. You know?
He's like, yeah.
We had a few good looking people. But you know, this is what it's about. This podcast is exclusively about looks. And that's what I want to make comedy hot again. That's my goal in life. Yeah. I feel like you walked into a time capsule where you saw an older version of yourself. I feel like Jeff looks like what went wrong
like
in
me.
Your life. If you take the wrong
we
path.
Are the same person.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I first walked in here, it wasn't a time capsule. It was more just like a Mario like
shrine.
The bathroom was the best. Like I couldn't count how many photos you have here of yourself. It was just like it's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
But also the time capsule.
Yeah, literally. So you saw the bathroom, you saw the photo,
yeah,
the new drawings
my
of myself.
Favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That's why it took so long in the bathroom. Like,
that's what he was doing.
God damn. So no, thanks for coming on the pod. This is amazing. So you shot with my fiance, actually. So tell us, you're like the American dream right now. You come from Hungary.
Yes.
So what made you come to Hungary to Los Angeles?
Well, it was kind of like a decision that I always knew that I'm going to make once.
Okay.
And I was just waiting for the right time to do it. Because in my country, I'm from the countryside. I'm not even from the capital of Hungary. I'm from the countryside of Hungary. And that was just like such a long journey that I just did it step by step. And first, when I told to my parents and stuff that I'm going to be a TV host or I want to do social media, they were like, what? Like,
yeah.
No, you should get it. You should go to a college. You should get it.
What do people
a job?
What do people do in your hometown? Like, what's a common thing people do? Like, what do your parents do in the hometown you're from in Hungary?
Well, you could. This is my hometown. Kind of looks like a place where people could like farming stuff and like on a ranch.
Yeah,
but I'm not. I don't come from that environment.
Okay.
So my mother works for a kind of a governmental office.
Okay.
And my father was always trading with stuff. So it wasn't like that. I grew up, I'm from the countryside, but I didn't grow up with 50 animals around me always.
Got it.
Besides, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
And I would have loved that.
I could see you in like overall somewhere in Hungary in the countryside.
So you know what? Later, I have been in a situation because I don't know if you guys are familiar with the TV show. It's called The Farm VIP.
No.
And it's like a competitive reality show. It's kind of like Survivor, but in a farm. And I did that reality show. It's kind of a thing in Hungary. And so I lived with all those animals for more like a month. And
so you had to survive on a farm?
Yeah, it's kind of like a survivor on a farm.
So you had to farm. So you basically had to, you know, milk cows.
Do everything. And then goats and then like
try to milk everything.
I remember the first day was the most traumatizing because it's like you get those it's like a competition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then first you have two teams. And then it was like something that we won a prize if we could dig something out from like animal shit with our bare hands.
Damn.
That was the very first day. I think our producers wanted to make sure that everyone is like scared as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one, I mean, it was just like, it was hard.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
You were shoveling the shit with your hands?
I had to. And it was that hot that my hand got burnt because it was summer.
Dang.
So the shit was so hot. It was some hot shit.
So, and that was your I made it moment in Hungarian television. You were like, I told you, Mom, I could do it. You wanted me.
You were wrong. You were wrong when you say that I should go to college.
Do it. Yeah. Look at me now. Damn, that's how I felt with modeling too. You know, you think that you have, yeah. But that's dope. So that was that your introduction to Hungarian television?
No. My first ever. So I was one of those content creators in Hungary that got the following.
Okay.
And
for what? What were your posts?
It was more like my modeling jobs. And then my TV channel in Hungary, it's one of the biggest commercial TV channels. And this opportunity came up when they wanted someone who could be one of the co-hosts of Ninja Warrior.
Mm.
And they, I think they didn't really have a whole crew for that thing that they wanted. It was some like interviews with the contestants.
Okay.
But I didn't have an editor and a cameraman. So I had to kind of record everything with the selfie stick, which was like so weird.
And that was Hungarian television.
That was Hungarian television.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So, and then it was so far from where, so the TV channel's like main area where the TV channel is, that's in the city, that's in Budapest. But the film studio was like so far from there, like an hour. Yeah. And then every day I had to go there. We were filming like 8 hours, go back, and then next day again. It was for like 30 days. Right?
Yeah.
With no editor, no cameraman, no feedbacks if it's good or bad. I was just making those interviews and I was like, oh my God. So that was kind of like a huge challenge.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason that I got it because I was experienced as a content creator already. So they were like, we don't need to pay for the cameraman, for the editor, for the whole team. This guy can just do it. And I was like new. So I was like, okay, I can do it.
Yeah, how much do you think had to do with the fact that you are ridiculously good looking? what do you mean?
Whoa. No, I don't know. Like, you know what? I think for many cases, if you are on TV and if it's not like a fashion thing or like a men's health fitness thing, whatever, it's not necessarily that important or like good for you or like an event.
In TV is not okay. Interesting.
It's just like what I want to say. It's not like it's not an extra necessarily. Yeah. If you're a good looking guy, because you just people want to see something that they can relate with, right?
Yeah,
I just I was watching I think KTLA or something some days ago. That was a guy. He was one of the news anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that he was a model. He transitioned to be one of the news anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't just believe that, what he says. Like, because he was just, you know what? And it wasn't like because he was too hot, but it was kind of odd for that whole thing, what he did.
Yeah. Well, was it a very serious thing? That maybe I can see that if you're like super hot and then you talk about like Gaza or something, you know what
right?
I mean? I feel like that could be a little bit of discrepancy where it's not as credible.
It's not something that you want to pay attention for with that topic.
Yeah, you want a guy with glasses, like a nerdy look.
It's
you know?
So stereotyped, but you know, it's just like there is some kind of unwritten rules, I think.
That's funny that this ain't the same topic we had on last podcast where the struggles that we go through as hot people. Because people put you in the box. They don't believe
never
you.
Never said that.
No, but that is exactly what we need to talk about. Is
I have nothing
how
to do
hard
with
it
this whole speech right now. No.
No, but there's something to you have expectations based on the way you look. Of course. Ryan?
I don't know. You know what? So this is something that I told you before the interview. That since I was an oversized kid, like an overweight kid.
Okay.
And I was bullied a lot in the school. And then I was working on a lot with my psychologist to kind of like change my mindset that I'm not that fat little kid anymore.
Yeah.
My brain kind of transitioned to that stage now where I'm like, I'm not like I don't say that I have like lack of self
worth, confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not that I don't see myself as like incredibly good looking.
So you don't look in the mirror, you're like, you're hot.
No.
No? I do that all the time. That's my morning. That's my morning ritual. Every morning,
100% imagine that. But
that's my morning routine every morning.
But it's not like some like
you're hot.
It's not like something like humble bullshit that I want to say right now.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But it's just something that I came from an experience that was with me for such a long time.
Of course.
And then
it's hard
after
to unlearn,
it,
yeah.
It just kind of like I had to learn how to be more, not confident, but to like self-loving and
self-love. Yeah, yeah. That's very normal, especially when you're a kid. How old were you when you were bullied for being overweight?
13, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like from the age of 12, I think. So mm-hmm. that's the most like significant time of a childhood.
Exactly.
When you like, when your personality kind of like
forms
100%, and goes
yeah.
on a way.
Yeah. Huh. So that's so interesting because you hear that a lot from some girls. It's always kind of like a stereotype where girls are like, they had a glow up and they were not hot in high school. And they still see themselves as this ugly girl they used to be.
Yeah.
That wouldn't get with the quarterback or whatever. That's so interesting. So you're that hot girl.
Right.
That's so interesting. So how did you get out of that? So did you just, as a kid, genetically, you just were a little overweight? And when you say overweight, is it model overweight? Is it European overweight? Or is it like American overweight? Like what's the scale we're talking? You were just a little chubby or?
I was like a fat kid.
Yeah. It's so hard to imagine that. Yeah. Because you look so great. I saw your photos and in your Instagram. I Googled, the first thing I did when you came in the pocket, I was like, Philip nudes. And I was like, no, it looks pretty fucking good to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever I do research,
I appreciate it. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I was like a chubby kid. And it's just like, it wasn't like, I mean, it's kind of like whatever to talk about that. If I was like enormous, I was just like a little bit overweight.
Sure.
I was more like, I felt like in a lot of situations that I was like the black sheep in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of, I always felt alone. I always felt that I wasn't understood by anyone.
Mm.
And I, which is kind of weird. I was kind of a weird kid. And you know what? That's what I say to my friends, that I think I still am a little weird in a way.
Yeah.
I just got a better look. So now it's cool.
Yeah.
Instead of
interesting. Yeah.
Being like the weird guy that we bully for something.
If you're weird and you're hot, it's cool. But if you're not, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you grow out of it or did you have to have
I stopped eating a lot. Like, it's so interesting with my psychologist. We were like kind of like going back there and thinking of that, what happened and why, blah, blah, blah. And when my parents divorced, maybe it was a time when, I mean, I had a good relationship and I still have a good relationship with my mother and my father. But maybe that was some like miscommunication that time. And eating was a pleasure mm-hmm. or like something that I could feel
gives you comfort
to be in a safe place
sure.
doing that.
Absolutely.
So and you know what? Still, like, and right now I'm on a super hard diet. Like, my diet is egg whites in the morning,
mm-hmm.
chicken breast and broccoli for lunch.
Okay.
And then lean ground turkey and broccoli for dinner. That's my, and then a protein shake usually. That's what I eat.
Dang.
Throughout the day.
Like every day, any cheat days, or are you pretty strict on it?
I'm pretty strict, but sometimes I have.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and I sometimes still thinking of food and like kind of adore some meals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I really want to eat it. Like, and it's just so stupid. Like, why would it so important to me? Or why is it so central in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Is it still a coping mechanism for you? Like when you feel stressed or you feel like you can't handle with something in your life, do you still feel this impulse to find comfort in food now?
Not in
like
that
you did
direct
as a child, not in the direct way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's more just like something that I don't think about. I have the same socks though.
As Jeff?
Yeah.
As Jeff?
Oh. So interesting. Yeah, I'm not wearing it right now. But
okay, yeah.
That's it.
Also, you have ADHD. So
that's so bad. That's so bad.
I love that literally in the middle of like, what's your coping mechanism as the kid? I have the same socks. You're like a dog.
Sorry.
Like, squirrel, squirrel.
I mean, you know what? I'm literally a golden retriever.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Same socks. But I'm glad you guys could bond on the socks. That's great. That's great. So then did you make a decision of like, you just wanted to, so it came from like, you know, your parents. By the way, I can relate to you a lot because my parents broke up too. A lot of things were not communicated clearly. So I found some other ways that were like my vices to deal with the breakup and the confusion. I never struggled with, you know, like that was not my thing was eating. Yeah. I always had abs. It was always hot. But for me, it was self-hate. It was other ways of kind of like almost, what's it called? Self, when you self-manipulate or you self, what's it, like punish myself almost, you know? So that was my thing. So it goes back to self-love once again.
Yeah.
Was there a point when you were like, okay, now I'm going to focus on my diet and work out? Or how did you
go
from
just,
that?
Yeah. Just one like interesting thing that my psychologist always tells me. So when there's a kid who's like their environment growing up, it's not the most fortunate in some sort of situations. She said sometimes, so there's two ways that kids usually do, right? One of them is like, one of them is like eating a lot. So they become overweight or a lot of masturbating.
Because
that's another way that they can feel the self-love.
Interesting.
And so it becomes like, a habit for them that it's super hard to control after it.
Yeah. That's I mean, I think I did that more so than the eating maybe. I don't know. But I think I've always wondered if that's just every teenager.
Yeah.
Like it was aggressive sometimes, you know?
How so?
I mean, it was just, dude, I mean, I told you this story. Like at one time I was at the hairdresser.
Was it a part of the self-punishment of the way that you were doing it?
No, it was not self-punishment. It was more like, man, you know, I would just always beat myself off a lot when I didn't look perfect. Also as a model.
Yeah.
You know, I beat myself up. When I was a kid though, I would just get horny sometimes. I don't know if it's linked. Maybe now that you say that, I'm like, oh, maybe there was something there where it was linked to a lack of self-worth. And when I was stressed, it was a release. But dude, sometimes I would just get turned on as like a 15-year-old or 13-year-old. And I would just see. One time I was at the hairdresser and I saw this magazine that kind of had some, you know, like some nipple slips and I was a little turned on. So then I, you know, did the job while I was getting a haircut because you get to have the rope over you. So I'm not proud of it.
How did you manage to do it?
Pure determination. And that's one thing, kids, I always had in my life is once I start something, I'm going to finish it. Take that home. Write that down.
You just splurged on the floor?
I didn't have much. It was just like a little, I mean, I don't know, man. How do I tell this? But it's just true, man. I'm not saying this like I'm bragging. That's just a weird thing I did when it comes to masturbation. And I thought you guys.
We all agree about
I thought you guys were all going to join in and tell me, oh yeah, I did this. But then you guys left me hanging. You just judged me for it. Now I feel fucking weird about sharing this thing in the first place.
Good.
Jesus Lord.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Next topic.
So what's the weirdest place you ever masturbated in, Jeff?
God. Probably next to you in the bed one night.
I can see that.
Did I tell you about that
we've
one?
We've shared a lot of hotel rooms. Yeah.
I turned over though. So.
Oh yeah, you did?
I wasn't facing you.
Oh, for real?
Can't remember.
Were you looking at me as you were doing that? Just a night out there with a sleeping mask, fucking oblivious.
Like, let's get me in
innocent.
Trouble to say I can't tell.
Yeah.
I can't really think of it. Actually, I did do it with my dad one time.
Cool. All right, cool, yeah.
Similar. I think I might have had a dream it was you.
Yeah.
But it was my dad. We're on a baseball trip. I mean,
baseball.
If you gotta go, you gotta go,
it's
right?
Very true,
I
pretty
have no idea what's going on.
We're talking,
I'm a little bit anti-masturbation, though, since he brought it up, how people will cope with their problems. And I think, God, it just gets you nowhere. It's a yeah. really, it's the most powerful energy in the world, Bauman told me.
So you try to not do it for a certain time, right?
He constantly doesn't do it, except when he's in the hotel room with me, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. But
other than that.
That was some hard times.
That was, you know, I don't know. When
that was the breaking point.
You're a good looking guy, you know?
I mean, thank you. I appreciate it.
I like you. But yeah, not too many crazy places. Yeah. I haven't done it like that way, you know?
Okay.
Sexual assault to your hairstylist that you should tell him or her.
They don't know. Soccer. I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but they don't even, I don't think, probably they knew. I don't know.
Let's ask our guest though, because I want to know where he's jerked off.
I love that question.
What
I was
crazy
like,
place?
It's so, this conversation, I feel so left out from it.
Because I didn't want to make
really
you feel uncomfortable.
That I, have the chance
I didn't want
to
make you feel uncomfortable.
This question
but
too.
Now let's get into it. Let's start with that question.
Like, I'm
what
like,
was the craziest
you know
place
what?
You jerked off?
From the first moment that you just said that question, I was sure that I'm going to be the second, right? Who gets the question? So I was like, okay, I need to come up with something. Where? What? What? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm so boring. Like probably in my room when I was a kid.
Wait, that is the least crazy part. That is the expected. Like you didn't understand the question. I said the craziest.
I know.
Not what's the most expected and normal place.
You
like
know
have
what?
You never like on a public bus in Hungary?
I...
Like
once
I've masturbated on public bus in Hungary.
I
I've never
went on a fucking school trip,
mm-hmm.
and at night I did it on a bus.
I mean, that's yeah.
See, he was holding that in. He did not want to tell
and
you.
I was judging you 5 minutes ago for the hairdresser,
dude. I have so many stories. One time I did with a chainsaw, dude. That was crazy. Yeah, I was working as a landscaper and I had a chainsaw, and the chainsaw would have this like this, you know, vibration, and I put it against my crotch. And
did you like it?
I liked it. Yeah. Let's go back to the coping mechanisms as a kid of how you dealt with trauma to bring it back to that conversation.
Let's bring it back.
No, I liked it. It's just, you know, when you're a kid and I don't know why I always share these stories and I just want to be real because as kids,
yeah.
we are
no,
all,
it's like,
we're more impulsive. We don't think about societal norms. But then when I share these stories, I always feel judged and stupid by everybody. So now I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna keep my chainsaw stories to myself, and there's a lot more stories that you guys are gonna miss out on.
No,
because hey. You're judging me.
This is a safe space. This is where you let this out for the world to hear about.
You just touched my balls, like Jeff.
So, do you want to hear more about my childhood drama?
Absolutely, absolutely. So then now you're very strict. Say. You eat something that's a little unhealthy. Say you're at a party or something and you have some ice cream or you have a slice of pizza. Do you accept it or do you beat yourself up for that?
So my body is amazing. And since I don't have... My body is amazing. Since I don't
Oh, your
eat,
body.
Yeah.
I thought you have a friend that's amazing. Yeah. My body is amazing.
So no. What I wanted to say is that since I don't really eat carbs.
Yeah.
When I do... I usually have super bad diarrhea.
Yeah.
So I don't really digest it because it just leaves me.
Your body's like, Fulup, we have to stay on track. Yeah.
Like we'd be like,
I can't do a Hungarian accent. That was German, but I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. When you start to eat that clean, if something is not that clean, your body just want to get rid of it as fast. 100%. As is it possible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really feel bad because usually I just shit it out. But if I don't, it's more just like, yeah, I'm like, I have those second thoughts that what if I get a call tomorrow and that's going to be like an underwear brand or like a swimwear, like fragrance. I need to be shirtless. And if I'm not good enough, they're gonna find another person who is better looking.
You know,
and that's when I call Jeff all the time. I'm like, hey, I'm not in shape. Help me out. And then sometimes we don't even tell,
and they don't
the
notice.
Casting director because the kid they can't notice. Tell, yeah. So, and then, but you know, I don't know. Sometimes you need to let yourself like some pleasure with that.
Yeah.
To have a drink or two or three or four, five.
Yeah. Do you drink at all?
I try not, though. I just recently I went to J-Lo's new movies premiere, right? And we were just talking about her, and it turned out, I never knew that about her, that she never drinks at all. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't drink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the whole world with J-Lo is like, what is your secret?
Yeah.
Why you look so amazing?
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, hey guys, I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And then everyone is like, okay, yeah.
But what's your secret? Real secret? Yeah, what?
And then she'd be like, I don't drink that shit that you do. Yeah. That's why I look good.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then since that, I just got so inspired. That was like 2 weeks ago.
So I was gonna say the movie came out really recently. Yeah.
No, but you know what? I tried before too. It's just something that is good sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's that balance, because I can relate to you. I was so strict about my diet. I mean, I don't know how. I'm probably on the same level as you are, but for me, it was like I would not even touch. I would not cheat at all.
Yeah,
not at all. Like, I was one of those people. I would not cheat. Not even a single thing. Mm-hmm. Like, even for me, having a piece of fruit would be like a little cheat, almost cheating, or something like that. Where I would have like the smallest bite. And I remember one time I was like, I was doing intermittent fasting too, which that was probably the hardest for me, because intermittent fasting, when you don't eat for 16 hours, is fine if you have controlled meals and a little bit of a routine. But I was running around Manhattan as a fashion model. So I would be so stressed out, because I would be like, fuck. It's like 7 p.m. I have to have my last meal now. But I was like kind of running around. I couldn't find healthy food. So then I felt like I brought a can of beans with me at all times. So I would eat a can of beans and a can of tuna in the restroom of a restaurant or something like that. So then I could go to the restaurant with other friends that I couldn't afford the food. I would watch them eat food while I didn't eat anything.
Yeah.
And I would be, and at one time I remember I ate a little bit of a dessert they had. I just tried some because I was so hungry. And then after I beat myself up, I was like, fuck, I ate some sugar now. Now I'm going to lose one ab. And tomorrow I'm going to have one less abs. So then I like ran back to Brooklyn, you know, from Manhattan. I literally went on a run at night because I was like, oh shit, I need to. So it was crazy, man. When all your life and everything you do and everything you get validated for and what you get paid for depends on how you look.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. You know, I put so much pressure on you.
No,
especially if you don't know how to do it in a sustainable, healthy way. So that's why the balance is good. Now it's funny. Now that I'm not doing modeling anymore, I'm a little bit more chill. Like sometimes I eat very healthy still, but sometimes I have like a dessert or something, have like some bites of it. And you know what's crazy, man? Even though I'm not as strict, I'm like maybe 20% as strict as I was before about my diet, but the results are still like 90% of the results I had. Which is crazy. Sometimes it's a lot in your head too, where you think if you do a little thing that it really derails everything.
Yeah.
But it was really, I made it in my head, I made it way bigger of a deal than it actually was. So I can relate a lot on that body struggle. Yeah. Did you ever have body struggle, Jeff, or you just always?
He was always perfect. Like what?
I feel like none of the struggles, I'm the whole time, we're like sharing our trauma. I'm like, hey, Fulb, I can really relate on the breakup with your parents. Jeff just right here is like, my parents love me. I had abs my whole life. Yeah.
Not really. I used to be a little, I probably had that baby fat. Maybe I just had to grow out of it. I was a little pudgy, but not bad. You know, when it comes to food, I kind of go back and forth.
Wait, that was your emotional, vulnerable moment? He was like, I had some bad baby fat, but it's not bad.
Well,
no other insecurities?
I have struggled with the food because, you know, we have to be lean as models. I couldn't actually work in Europe. I was too thick. I was perfect for America.
But Europe is pretty like
exactly. Yeah, I probably needed to shed about 10 pounds. But with food, I kind of go back and forth because I don't really think that a little piece of cake brings much pleasure in life. It's really just
people like,
it's like,
I don't really believe that sugar makes you fat.
it's like, it's mouth pleasure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it brings you pleasure. Yeah.
It brings you the quickest fucking cum of your life. It's quick
it's
pleasure.
Dopamine, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's good. It's
like, but also, how do you define pleasure? Do you talk about like long-lasting pleasure? Like, does Bitcoin going up give you pleasure, or is that like a short-term dopamine hit?
Well, you get something if Bitcoin goes up. I mean, you can trade it in for something.
Got it. Okay, so that's fine. It's pleasure in the sense of financial security that's a little long-lasting and a little more profound than the pleasure of just having a food that tastes nice.
Yeah, well, like a cake. I mean, what does it bring you? It brings you a few seconds of mouth pleasure.
Yeah.
And then nothing else.
But what is life about? if not about
sustaining pleasure, pleasure that's last long.
Yeah.
Meaning, purpose, I guess you would say. As a steak, I know he says he doesn't like high fat, but that gives me energy for long periods. I feel fucking good.
Yeah, that's true. You know? No, 100%, that's true. Long lasting. You're right. But I still would sometimes value, like, if I think back at some moments, but maybe it's also about the connection with other people. Like when my mom in Germany should make me pancakes. It's actually not, it's a German version called Kaiserschmarrn, where it's such a German, when I think about it now, it's so German. So it's like German pancakes. It's basically like a pancake, but then the Germans, you take the spatula and you destroy the pancake and you cut it into little pieces, yeah? And then you put applesauce on top and you serve it to people.
That sounds amazing.
It's the most German fucking thing. But my mom would make that for me with peach halves and cinnamon. And that shit to me, thinking back at just the flavor and the pleasure I felt from that, is one of the most like beautiful moments of my life in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I think about it that way. But I see what you mean with pleasure and the short-term
you know what?
Pleasure
for me,
versus long-term
it's like,
pleasure.
Sometimes it's so like morbid. But I feel when I'm like starving, like I feel that I'm hungry. I kind of feel a pleasure that I know that I'm succeeding in something that I need to do, which is pretty fucked. But I'm like, I can see that I'm going to be successful. I'm going to earn money. I'm going to get jobs because I kind of do the suffer to get it.
Oh yeah. The suffering. I need to suffering. Yeah. So you, okay. I can relate to that also. You feel like when you're in that state of suffering, like even when you work, I mean, there's something when you work out at the gym, same thing, right? You're suffering at the gym technically, but you feel like you're growing in a way and you're going towards something as opposed to regressing. And that's true sometimes, but it's a struggle, man, because I think it's a good attitude and I've had that attitude, but also can be unhealthy because I'm like sometimes unable to enjoy something in the moment because I'm so aware of the long-term repercussions. Yeah. Off eating cake.
I think it's also a part of that childhood drama that you said that I bring to you, that you just want to be in control of everything, every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to not let like anything unexpected happens because you have like a short pleasure of something.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's interesting with the pleasure thing. How do you feel about sex? Do you want to go somewhere? It sounded so weird, but I just like, Jeff, what are we doing here?
I know you're a quick cum. I don't know if you told our friend this.
Listen,
I never heard that. So it's pretty new.
What do you mean you never heard that?
That you come quickly.
Well, now you heard it here first. Yeah. Yeah, I say it almost on every podcast. Okay. But, yeah.
I mean, I just.
Shout out to all the long-term listeners. You know? You all me. Whatever. I call my fandom the minute crew.
Okay.
The 1 minute crew, yeah. Yeah. We all come quick, efficient.
I want to talk about with Vita.
Yeah. Oh, she knows. She knows. Yeah, know no, she knows. Opinion. Yeah, she knows. So how do you feel about sex then? Like with because it's also basically is that pleasure? Because it's also like a short term thing that after vanishes.
I mean, I think you should stretch sex out as long as you can. That's just my personal.
Got it.
But I guess with you and Vita, you have a long lasting connection.
Yeah, the connection. That's like what I think pleasure in a deeper sense.
Yeah.
What I would consider
pleasure. I mean, if you can allow for yourself to have that pleasure in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you need to trust in yourself. You need to trust in the other person. And it's kind of like for that, you need to also build that relationship, right?
yeah but even with pleasure and sex sometimes I'm so aware of how efficient I could be now during sex, sometimes I'll have sex and I'll be like, oh fuck, if I was using this energy right now to work a little harder, yeah, then maybe I could make more efficient, productive things and I could take over the world, you know. That's sometimes how I think as a German. It's like sometimes even sex, I'm like, could I go somewhere, have sex with somebody, or could I work some more?
So what do you think of the Roman Empire?
I love that question. That came out of fucking nowhere.
Going with this.
What about it?
So no way. Like that was like literally a thing on TikTok.
Okay.
Everyone was talking about the Roman Empire. You didn't see it?
I'm not on TikTok really, but like I've never heard that before. So,
this is something that it's so hard to explain if you don't know that. Like, I know that the people that are going to watch this video, 99% of them know what is that
okay,
about.
Okay, comment below if you don't know what he's talking about.
Well, in what context?
So this is like something that they say men think of every day as an inspiration to do something like, if there's a task, right?
Yeah.
You need to solve it. You need to be a man. You need to be a warrior to solve it. Mm-hmm. And then you think of the Roman Empire to get the inspiration of how they were succeeding. And it's such a boomer way right now to explain this, because this is like a TikTok trend. But like,
what was the trend? I don't understand at all. So what was the trend
about? The trend was that all those girls took like a video of their boyfriends, right? Mm-hmm. Asking them what is their opinion of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what? Like, I think of they. And then everyone just realized that this like whole theory of the Roman Empire is something. I mean, I don't really think a lot of the Roman Empire, to be honest with you. So I wasn't really into this whole thing. But I mean, it's just like, it's more kind of like a thing to imagine yourself as a warrior. Mm. And in the way that you were talking about yourself was kind of like the German way Roman Empire.
The German way of the Roman Empire. Yeah, also the German, I don't know if you know, the Roman Empire was of German nation. They took over half the, so you know.
Maybe it's not.
A very efficient operation back then, yeah. No, but I think like that sometimes, and it's, you know, it's not, there's a balance, right? And sometimes I'm even happy for like some of the trauma, because of your trauma, it makes you achieve things and it makes you more disciplined.
Definitely.
But are you happier as a result? It's like kind of like this balance, right? And this,
yeah.
Does it come from like a fear and constant anxiety, or is it just something you actually want to do?
I think it's definitely more fortunate if all your success comes from a positive or happy place than from fear. Mm-hmm. But if that's the way for you and you can be successful with that, it's not necessarily bad, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I felt a lot of it was fear-driven for me. It was a mix of both, right? But a lot of times I was like, fuck. You know, I'd feel good. I was in good shape. You know, I had like 6 abs. And then I go to a casting and I see a dude from Brazil with 18 abs.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck. So I'm like, fuck, he's going to get that job and I'm going to be broke again. I'm going to go back to, you know, like selling my body on the street. And then I'm like, fuck. So then it's like kind of fear driven as opposed to like,
but did you say that you were selling your body on the street?
I'm just making an exaggeration to make a point, but kind of, I mean, you know, it is, I was close. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So now with modeling then, because I've seen you walk on like the Fashion Week stuff, you went from Hungary.
I saw him in that.
What I was saying. Yeah. Because Jeff and I, we went to one of the Fashion Week shows. And then I saw you walk and you just fucking, you just,
you know what? I was like, so I was walking.
I was like, it's Jeff.
And I wanted to be like, just looking straight forward. And then I remember a guy with the blonde hair being like, whoo-hoo, in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then that was Jeff then.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to pay attention, but I remember he was like, whoo-hoo. Yes. So that's crazy that we
he was catcalling you basically.
I know.
Yeah, he was like, "Look at that butt."
I was thinking this the whole time, but I didn't want to be wrong. I was like, "Did you walk in fashion?"
Yeah, yeah, same. Yeah, but we had to leave. I had a stand up show after, so we had to leave. But I looked at him and was like, "Fucking great job with the fucking blue studio." Just like,
wow. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was.
Thank you.
Yeah, locked in.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like practicing like left, right, left, right before to not mess it up on the runway.
So what's your main goal now here in America? You came a couple of years ago from Hungary. You were a TV host in Hungary. You were digging through the shit for the reality shows, all this stuff. And then you came to LA. What's your main goal here? Do you want to be a TV host again on Farmers Only for the American television? Or what's your goal here?
So this whole modeling stuff, which I do now, is like, it was the first step that I could do like the most like easy way. Here, because they were just like, I've got everything for that at the moment. And then with TV hosting, acting, stuff like that, I'm like still improving my skills. I go now to UCLA, it's an acting course, and I go to some acting studios to like keep improve stuff. I really want to do a serious acting career.
Yeah.
And TV hosting is something fun to do. I don't really see as like when I'm on a TV show and I need to like host something, I don't really feel it as a job. It's more just like something that I have some written lines, but I just have fun with it. It's myself.
Yeah.
I have the spotlight on me, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
And I can be funny easily. I can talk with people.
Yeah.
So I love to do that, but it's not something that I really need to like always prepare myself. Like I just realized recently when I started to study acting,
yeah,
that it's a fucking hard job.
Oh, like, it's so hard. Yeah.
You know how to control your body. You need to how to be different characters, personalities, mm-hmm. act like that, make it believable. TV hosting is you need to be yourself and you need to be funny and entertaining.
Which sometimes basically. Can be harder for some people. There's different personality types. You know, yeah. you wouldn't be good hosts.
It depends
host,
on personality.
Actors, right?
My, depends for on me, that, yeah. it's easier.
I can see that. 100%. Same for me. Yeah. I think acting is, it's just so hard. In acting, it's also some of the same dynamics that I encountered in modeling. You know, where it's like you have to please one guy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, man. And it's also dependent on, acting is also dependent on your looks. You know, because you have to fit the role yeah. and the character if it's believable. Sometimes it's not just about your acting. It's about so many other things. So I just never like being in control. I'm submissive as fuck. No, I, the opposite. The opposite. I'm a top guy, right? No, I didn't like being out of control.
Yeah.
I loved with social media and even stand up.
Yeah.
Where I can do more of my own thing.
You're,
I can do more of my
own
shows.
Your own boss.
Exactly.
And that's
yeah.
such a privilege. Yeah. yeah.
And that's also, guys, I want to interrupt for a quick commercial break because Mario Adrian is going on a stand-up tour.
Guys, big announcement. I'm planning a full stand-up comedy tour and I'm going to come to your city. But all you got to do is go to MarioAdrianComedy.com right now. Fill out the form and invite me to come to your city. Once you sign up, you're going to get exclusive discount codes. I'll send you a free link to my exclusive stand-up special and you'll be the first one to find out when I come to your city. So sign up right now at MarioAdrianComedy.com. I cannot wait to see you at one of my shows. And now back to the program.
And fill out the form where you can put in your state and your city. And I'm going to come to your city if you put in your state. That was the smoothest. I've never done an introduction.
That. It was good.
But it was. Wow. But you know.
You guys should know that was the 100th time that we were re-recording
we
this
did
whole
it
thing.
Many times.
But after it, that was great.
It was great. After the edit, it was great, right?
Yeah.
We did that. God damn it. Yeah. So then. With acting now, do you audition regularly for acting stuff?
I got some audition invites already and I did some auditions.
Yeah.
It's just something that it's crazy. But if there is a situation that I'm like, I know that I'm the chosen one and I'm like, they love me. That's the reason that I'm there. They want me. I'm like, great. When it's an audition like yeah. situation, I just like, I'm so bad. Like, I don't like it. I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't want to compete with other people. I don't want to, you know, like
yeah.
try to have a job.
Yeah.
And then to prove that I'm good enough.
Got it. So
I just have something
to
do with this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like mostly of my jobs. It's always I was in the situation when a producer or like someone from any channels or like
yeah.
productions just called me, hey, we want you. And then
nice.
They just tried me and I was great.
Got it.
And then when it's like a casting thing,
yeah.
I'm like, sometimes I can succeed, but it's always.
It's a different dynamic when you know
yeah.
that they want you
yeah.
already. Because otherwise you feel
I
like
definitely
you can,
not a fan
that
of
competitive
that situation,
energy. Yeah.
I mean, some people maybe do because it's just like you compete and it must be good if you win.
Sure.
But I'm like, you know, it's always like, I just imagine like even before I would walk in somewhere, I imagine those people sitting behind a table
mm-hmm.
like, okay, next.
Another blonde guy with
okay.
perfect cheekbone and bone
started.
Structure. Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. It's a weird energy
but
to be
it's
in.
It's a part of the whole thing. Like you need to do it.
But people don't realize how many you have to do to get one job.
Right.
Same with modeling,
and
you know?
It's
you gotta do like,
no.
It's
no,
always
no.
And then
and
even
it's
if,
after 1,000, one yes, and you're happy for it.
And the craziest thing with acting, which always blows my mind, is that even if it's a yes and you film something, say you film a pilot, it doesn't get picked
could
up.
Could be a no.
Or, no, it doesn't get picked up. You know, you film something, you know how many fucking, I've done a lot
yeah.
of things like pilots, even for things and TV shows and this and that, where it never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
And we worked weeks on it. I was so excited about it. And then 3 years later, they pitch it and doesn't get picked up. And then you're like, wait, that was, first of all, 3 years later.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these people have their, and I find that so fascinating, these actors, like my fiance works with, you know, some as a stylist with some, you know, higher up, like, you know, like huge actors. But some of those people.
So I worked with her. That's why I'm here.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
I'm one of
those people. This is
the exactly.
High
it's him. That's it. Yeah. But people who are like, you know, winning Oscars and shit, and like some of these movies they filmed like 5 years ago, and that was their breaking. So they're waiting for 5 years.
I know.
Probably auditioned a year before
and
that. It's
struggle.
Crazy. And, yeah. It's crazy. So I always respect actors because it's the opposite of the quick dopamine hit that you're describing with like eating cake.
Yeah.
It's the opposite with acting. You take a bite. And maybe in 10 years you feel good about it. You know what I mean? It's like the craziest thing. So I respect all actors, but yeah.
Well, some of those big actors as well are famously bad at auditions. Like Benicio Del Toro, I think George Clooney. So it is.
So there's still hope for me.
Yeah, there's still hope. You got everything going for you, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
you're a natural.
Thank you.
Seriously.
No. You should do it like Jacob Elordi. Because Jacob Elordi, they did an SNL skit about him where he was like, he was at an acting school, and then people were like, "Oh, how do you audition for the job?" And he was like,
"He's one of the elevator boys, right?" He's not.
No.
Who's he?
I'm like, I love that.
I don't know what he's talking about either.
I love that you're so TikTok. You don't know Jacob Elordi?
The name.
I know the name.
You know Jacob Elordi? Yeah. What the fuck?
I know the name. Who is that?
Okay, you guys are.
Who's that person?
It's just what the fuck. This is crazy, man. Jacob Elordi is the guy who was in Euphoria. The hot
I know
guy.
Him. I know.
And
yeah,
he was
I know.
In Saltburn. He was the guy.
He was just now in Saltburn.
The hot
yeah.
guy in Saltburn. Yeah. So okay. He's like one of the. I mean, he's.
You know what? He's so inspiring to me, actually.
Exactly, because he walked off a plane from a different country, didn't audition at all, was hot, and he was put in things, and that they made jokes about it. And I love the self awareness around that. He was at a, did an SNL skit where they were like, so he was in acting class, you know, he walked in as like a Q&A and they were like, so how did you, when did you audition for this role? And he was like, what do you mean audition? What is that? And he was like, no, I just walked off a plane and Selena Gomez thought I was hot and put me in her music video. And then producers hit me up and I was put in the movie. Wait, you guys actually auditioned for a thing? You know, I was like, that's
right.
Because he's just such a hot guy. So I think that's something, you know, that does help though, I think. If you're ridiculously good looking,
I didn't know
it does
that
help.
He started on a Selena Gomez music video.
Though. I think that's kind of like how he started in Hollywood. He came from Australia. Yeah. I think that's where he's from, yeah. Because all actors are from Australia, I feel like. Yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of them. A lot of them, you know, Chris Hemsworth, all these people from Australia.
There's something in the ear over there.
Something there, yeah. No. Do you know any other Hungarian people? Do you know Alfie by any chance? Do you know Alfie?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't know him. I have a common friend with him.
Okay.
And then his girlfriend, yeah. I think. And she messaged me some weeks ago that they went somewhere together.
Yeah.
It was like a Hungarian group and she invited me.
Yeah.
But I didn't end up go there. But I know that he's also Hungarian and lives here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a character. You should meet him. I don't know if you're ready for it, but you know, he's Yeah. He's definitely, you're going to have some experiences with maybe some slight sexual harassment, but you know, in a nice way, you know, in a Hungarian way. He might feed you some goulash. Like he makes these videos online. It's fucking so funny.
I know. Where I know goulash.
He goes to like, he makes these videos and they're blowing up on TikTok where he's just like feeding his friend and he goes like, do you want some more of that Hungarian goulash? And he feeds him goulash in a very sexual way. And that's the fucking video.
That's millions amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen his videos recently, by the way?
I have not, no, because it was...
You have to. It's like he's picking up guys in public with money. He'll just walk up, hello, my friend, what do you... I think you look very good. I have money. Do you want...
Does he have like a super thing Hungarian accent?
No, that's a bad accent.
A little bit. I mean, not... Yeah, a little bit, though. Yeah, he's got a vibe, but he's just like...
alpha.
He got a hyper alpha testosterone Hungarian vibe. I mean, he's... Yeah,
the opposite of me. Yeah,
no, you're a very sweet vibe, you know.
Thank
Which I think
you.
Is interesting because you. I'm not so no, no offense, but you.
Are
you
so sweet?
It's so interesting. No, I always love that because you're very sweet and vulnerable, and I appreciate that. Because no offense, but I'm the same way. Like I saw you in your car and stuff, and I think people see you, and you just look like. I mean, no offense, but you look like you look like a little bit like a douchebag. You know what I'm saying? And that is great that we break the stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, because with the stuff and the cool car and the hair and everything, you know, it's like yeah. So wait, you're afraid that you're coming across too douchey?
No, you know what? So you were on the phone when we were talking, mm-hmm. and then when I arrived and blah, blah, blah. You were just so nice and respectful with me.
Yeah.
And I just like, I like it because like, you know, you host a podcast, and you could be like, not like mean, but you could push people to some uncomfortable situations to make your show more viral, funnier, entertaining.
The vibe of the show. Okay.
That's what I felt. Yeah. No, but you know what? This is just something that I respect in people, that you don't try to get the clicks with mean stuff. And I don't want to give the same vibe either.
No, I don't want to get clicks with mean stuff. I don't like that. That's what I always felt weird about, you know, these prank videos online where you make a joke at the expense of somebody else. And they're the joke you're laughing at, and you get views with that. I never understood that because I feel like you don't contribute anything positive, you know? Like, I love the conversations, and I think conversations like that, the real stuff, and you talking with body struggles, I'd much rather get clicks with that, you know? Because I can come up here and ask you, not that I've not done this before, but I can ask you intimate questions about your penis size.
Okay.
How are we doing in that department? Go ahead. Not that I'm asking you, but now I'm asking you.
Oh,
yeah.
So, how
much are you packing right now? Yeah.
Well, when I was in the toilet looking photos of you, it definitely helped with the size. But I didn't measure it. I mean, I was there for like 25, 30 minutes.
25, exactly.
But I didn't have time for that.
Yeah, so that's good. That's
I can't go back.
Oh, man. Yeah. And do you have, because you know, you're a good looking guy and you're in this industry. Have you ever had any, and that's Jeff's favorite question. Do you want to ask the question?
Have you ever had any sexual assault? Is that what we're going with?
Jesus Christ, not going to go there. No, but any like, you know, any uncomfortable, because you know, that's what we've talked about a lot. It's like the modeling industry. And I'm always curious about that kind of stuff because, you know, you look a certain way.
Life happens.
You are being sexualized, right, with modeling and all that stuff. Has it always been positive for you? Has it been there been moments that made you uncomfortable? Because you brought it up on the...
Yeah, it's such an interesting question and topic. And it just... Growing up like this, like modeling...
Yeah.
I mean, not when I was like a chubby kid, but after
growing up hot.
Like modeling and then doing all this social media stuff and other media, blah, blah, blah. You just kind of like... getting used to be in this environment to be sexualized and you don't even really see situations sometimes when could be questionable because you're just so used to it is a situation when someone is so close to you and they touch you a little bit in an inappropriate way or make a comment about you, which is like a funny good-ish comment, but could come across as like a sexual insult if we see it on paper, was the definition of that. So I was working on that also, not with my psychologist, but I also have a life coach.
Yeah.
And same. She kinda,
we're the same person, dude. For real. Right? Yeah.
So we look the same, but we...
Yeah, we had the same. Jeff had no struggles in life, you know?
So, I mean, just look at him.
An old man.
And then she kind of highlighted some of those when I was like talking about my experiences with modeling or with being in some sort of situations. And then she goes, no, it's not good.
Yeah.
You shouldn't let people do this to you. Talk to you like that, treat you like that in situations. And I was like, oh shit, this is not good. But when you're there and when you just go with the flow
in a bubble
and you are in the bubble, you'd be like, it happens with everyone. It's not that extraordinary that someone this and that. So I don't have like a huge traumatizing super bad experience, but I definitely have been in some of those situations when I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah. And you kind of also don't want to act out because you never know how it's going to be interpreted. You never want to burn any bridges if you overreact. And that's how I felt for a long time. But I remember some photographers, I almost brush it off as like a cute, funny comment. One photographer I was shooting with in New York a lot, he would always be like, literally, I was doing underwear shoots and I would just put on my underwear and he'd be like, oh, and he's clearly a gay man, you know, but he was always like, man, if I was gay, I would totally want to suck your dick right now. And then he would laugh and I'd be like, and I would also laugh. You know, it's like such a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But he would always say, and I would always be like, oh, that's so funny. And then I told my family back in Germany and I'd be like, ja, hallo, Freunde, guck mal, was der gemacht hat. Der Fotograf da vorne hat gesagt, er würde mir gerne meinen Pimmel lecken.
Ja? Sorry, it's even funnier to say it in German.
And then they'd be like, was? You know, it would be like, what the fuck? You know? And then I just realized that I was in such a bubble where I thought this was just a funny little comment.
Yeah.
Where the norm, like regular people that are not in this bubble would think this is like insane.
What the fuck?
You know? So, yeah, that makes sense. Did you ever, so you never like spoke up about anything like that? Are you a confrontational person?
I really know my boundaries. Yeah. And so what I feel and what I think and growing up, what I experienced, that if you are, no matter what you do, if you're a good model, a good actor, a good TV host, blah, 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 you don't need to please all those people always in every way.
Yeah.
Because you want to be, you will be picked or you will be chosen because you're good, not because you are the one that let people treat them in a certain way that you're not comfortable with.
Sure, yeah.
Because if you're not good enough, even if you let those things happen, you're not going to get those things because you're just not good enough.
So I think you have to have a balance
between
being good at something, but then also letting people touch you the right amount. So you have like the balance because if you just only focus on one but not on your craft, then
so this
when
is
you
literally
get the opportunity,
opposite from what I said. So bad.
I'm joking. No, but listen, there is also a part, and I'm not advocating for like letting people touch you, but you can. Some people focus, and this is like the equivalent of like some comedians. They focus so much on the craft, but not at all on the marketing.
Yeah.
You know, they focus so much on like, how can I become the best comedian? Which is very noble. And I think that should always be first. But if you don't focus at all on how to get exposure.
You should start working on that too.
Yeah, I think I do. Exactly. So yeah, if you don't, I'm not saying that you should try to get touched in order to get exposure. But if you have no exposure and all craft, then maybe.
Okay. So what I think that exposure that we are talking about to let people touch you, it's not a good exposure.
Got it. So you don't think it's legit. Yeah.
I don't think that it leads you anything that you want to be. If you want to end up in one of the producers' bed, yes, it helps. If you want to get one of the magazine covers, I don't think that it helps. Because if you are good enough, if you are the best, you're going to be picked.
You're gonna be pegged.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know, understand it correctly.
I know. So that's what I think.
Yeah. No, that's true. Right. You're right. You're right with that.
No, however, it's kind of like a similar conversation than what people think. If someone is like, because it's such like a common ask question in this industry, that do I need to sleep with people?
Yeah.
That I don't want to get a role.
Yeah.
And in my whole life, I never slept with anyone.
Never had sex.
You know, that would be my answer. So I never slept with anyone that I didn't want to.
Yeah.
To get something. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's the way.
Yeah.
Like I just don't believe in it at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe just something that you guys looking at me like, what the fucking idiot.
I mean, we're just looking at you like, this guy's not going to make it. He doesn't have what it takes. Not like, no, I think that's very noble of you. And, you know, we're going to see what you're going to say in 2 years. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, you're right. I think this exposure also, the people who offer that stuff 99% of the time are not even legit. You know how many fucking people promised me the world?
Did you take it?
Of course I did. And I just said, I should have just allowed the right people to touch me, if I put it like that. Now, so many people promise you the world and they say they're going to do this for you. And the people who are aggressive about it, like people offer me like, you know, modeling jobs if they can suck my dick, like stuff like that. They offered you to specifically put it on the table.
Did you get, were you in that exact situation?
I was in that exact situation. Never?
Never.
It happened to me 2 times specifically where they said, hey, I'm going to do this if you let me suck.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
Maybe I feel a little validated now that I have had two of those and you had none. It feels kind of like, you know, it feels like I'm winning. It feels like I'm more popular now.
How many did you have, Jeff?
How was the blowjob after they offered
it? It was fine. No, I'm kidding. I didn't take it. But like, it was always these people that in retrospect, I was like, they were fucking frauds. It was never the head of freaking GQ magazine. It was always some sketchy dude who didn't have any power. But yeah. He used that power. He tried to use.
Who cares?
Yeah. Exactly. I got a fucking Home Depot magazine for that shit. You know?
I think I tend to agree with him, though. I mean, I think I slept with maybe one client in the past, but it was never like a handshake deal.
Was this
ahead
something?
Of time.
Did you get like a benefit for it?
Probably not. I mean, I had done like a couple campaigns for him and then I,
so yes,
for her.
Absolutely worked out. Yeah.
But it was, I never had like a handshake deal ahead of time. Hey, if I suck your dick, you'll get this.
Yeah.
That would have been tough to see what I do in that position. I'm like, okay, wait.
Did you like the person or did you do
it for? Yeah, I liked her. I was like, I mean, we just had fun one night, you know?
Yeah.
After a couple campaigns.
I mean, it's like, I think that's the, couple of that's the line that you shouldn't cross, that if you like a person, it's not for the benefit. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to have sex with them but you do to get something, that's the part when it's like questionable.
Yeah, it's a gray zone, man. Yeah. So if somebody came to you, hypothetical scenario, and was like, hey Philip, we're gonna cast you as the new Hungarian Marvel superhero, all you gotta
I
do
I really want to be a superhero.
I felt that. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. All you gotta do is you gotta bang Bachmann. Would you do it?
That's it.
One time, nobody finds out about it.
But
and you're gonna be the new, and there's like four fucking, it's a franchise.
So hard.
Four movies. Give him a good look. Look at him. Look at Bachmann right there.
Hey. I don't know. I want to say
He doesn't want to say no, not to hurt his feelings right
Show
now.
Me your
I want to say no. No, you know what? It would be so easy to say no, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never been in this situation. I don't want to be like a liar who just says no right now to don't make anyone think that I'm like that kind of a person. But I don't know. Like I would probably still think that if I'm good enough, I can make it without it.
If you have self-belief and stuff, and that's the most important thing, is if you're desperate in your career, and so many young people are, you know, they're like, okay, I don't think I can make it in this town. I keep losing jobs. I'm broke. You know, there's a lot of people in modeling, especially, or whatever other industry you're in. It's so competitive. I think then people know that and they use their power because they know how desperate people are. You know, but if you're doing well, same with me now. If somebody offered me something now, I'd be like, wait, I'm making my own thing happen, which is the most powerful thing you can do. Because then you don't need anybody. And that's
a beautiful
place to come
from. I mean, it's like it
starts
with people that take these opportunities. Because if no one would take it, it's kind of like the same situation when I was like thinking of that. How is that possible that it was the actor's strike, right? And with the actors, like things changed.
Yeah.
Because they wanted things to change.
Yeah.
Why is there no model strike? The models don't make any money. Mm. They're being used.
Because models not as smart as actors. So
I
don't know if they can organize
a
strike.
It wasn't me who said that. So, right? So
I don't know. It's just a different thing. Also, modeling, I think, is more of a short. I mean, see, acting is
there's
a
lot of model
there's
struggling.
There's more money in general in acting than in modeling. For sure there is.
So it's even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bigger of a problem.
That's right, though.
Models don't make money.
The thing
they
is,
struggle.
We don't have. Maybe we have to do that because the actors, they're organized. They have the Actors Guild. They have SAG. They have all these organizations and trade and unions and stuff like that. You know
what unions models have?
Should we make a model union? We have to stand up for all the underrepresented models who don't have a voice in this country.
No, it's a legit problem.
That's true. That's actually a good point.
They're being sexually assaulted and they have no representation.
That's right. We're going to do, God, if we models came together and did, what's it called when you have a collective lawsuit? What's it called in English?
You're asking someone
I'm asking him. because I think he would know shit. But like, you know, if you have a
collective lawsuit,
it's called a Sammelklage in German. When you have a bunch of people, you know, when you sue a pharma company for some medication and you have a bunch of people doing it together.
Like a petition.
But sort of, yeah, there's a word for it, whatever it is. I'm not a lawyer. Huh? No, it's like there's a specific word for it when people collectively do it together. Anyways, if we did that, suing photographers for sexual harassment, dude, game fucking over. Because people did it, like, you know, with Bruce Weber, all these photographers got sued for stuff. The Abercrombie people came together. If we collectively did all the models and came together and we fought back and took what's ours rightfully, I think it would be a powerful statement and it would bring acceptance and a voice to those who don't have a voice, which is hard people. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
This is your campaign.
Right, I get very emotional about this. Wow. President of models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a serious topic.
I would call it RGP, the ridiculously good looking party.
By Mario.
By Mario, exactly. I would just call it Mario Party. Let's be honest. It would just be Mario Party.
Mario.
It would be Mario. Maybe it's an acronym. Mario. Models are ridiculously idealistic also. With a no. I'm going to come up with a name, but the branding is there, yeah. But that's good. No, I think we... thank you, man. I think we stood up for people and we gave a voice to those who don't have a voice. And I think that's very important. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to bring him back in a couple of years when he is a Hungarian Marvel actor.
And I'm going to be like...
Yeah.
Let's say, this was your take. How did you get it?
That time when you asked me that question. It's different when you're in the room, you know? Oh my God. Well, thanks so much for coming on. You're amazing. Really appreciate you. Follow him on Fulup. I think we're going to do some social media skits right now before the sun sets. Stay uncensored. Check out my new tour dates. Follow him. Follow Jeff. And I'll see you next Wednesday. New episode. Peace out.